Thank you very much. I have to say, thank you for the introduction. Thank you for this panel. I also want to thank, I know, I mean, we're going to have a fantastic closing talk, but you three have been just brilliant. And I hope that you're setting out the case in such a calm and intelligent and informative way that we don't get in the media or from our politicians, I have to say, some of the time. So I can't talk to you, we can answer questions later, but so as David said, I started out doing a review for the UK government in 2017, and now the world. So I was very excited last year to be appointed to the United Nations High Level Advisory Body on Artificial Intelligence, which is, I should stress that it only has a year's, we are not an expert body set up for forever. This is a year's commission to, really it's aimed at the UN's Summit for the Future Summit in September, and their Global Technology Compact, that this AI, our AI report will feed into all that. The UN's taking this very seriously about how it can help govern, convene, coordinate AI at a global level for the benefit of everybody. And that's what I like about, we so often sit in rooms like this where we're talking about AI benefiting the UK, the US, Europe, maybe China, and actually basically the tech companies. And we don't talk about what it means for the rest of the world, and the world that isn't here, the world that hasn't been included in these debates. And for all of you who know me, I've been part of the development of the internet and the web for a long time, and we didn't get that right. And we have, a lot of it's right, it works across the world, but so many people are excluded from what happens on the internet, and bad things have happened in the name of openness. And we mustn't repeat history for AI. We must learn from those lessons and move on. So that's part of my passion piece here. And this is the timeline, just to emphasize that they called for experts in August. We started in October. I remember it was my birthday and I was on a cruise in the Mediterranean, and they called the first meeting and I joined in, of course you do. And they said, we're going to produce an interim report before Christmas. Oh. And we have. We're led by Amandeep Gill, who is the UN tech envoy. And the Secretary General does come to the meetings. There was a meeting in New York, which I couldn't get to because of my operation, but he was there most of the time, despite the fact the talks about Israel and Gaza were going on down the corridor, and he'll be in Geneva in 2 weeks' time when we're there. There's an interim report. I'm just going to talk briefly about that. That's out for consultation. We've been here all afternoon talking about this report. It's been fantastic. Thank you, Royal Society, giving feedback. And by the summer, we're supposed to produce our final report, which it will not be, like people have said, it will not answer all the questions. It will be a way forward and suggest ways forward that clearly have got to be, as well as sort of like this rather top-down approach, it's got to come from bottom up as well. So there'll be a lot, I don't know how, our commission finishes, I don't know yet how it will go forward, but other than being discussed in September in New York at their Summit of the Future. And the Secretary General's key issue is reframing the Sustainable Development Goals in terms of how AI can help towards those. But I just want to make the point that the wonderful thing for me about this, it is truly global. Not every country is represented. There's 39 of us members, but I co-chair the governance working group with Yi Zhang from China, Chinese Academy of Sciences. I think that's fantastic, because it's just like climate change. You can't talk about this stuff without having the other country that's doing all the development and worries as much about ethical principles in a completely different cultural context to us. And so it's great to be co-chairing with him. Now, you won't be able to read this, but you can look at, well, you might be able to. There are 39 members, and if you just look on the web at the list. It is incredibly diverse, much more diverse than a group than I'm used to being in. Diverse in, 50% women, but also countries across the world. A lot of countries from what we loosely call the global south, a lot of people from countries in the global south, and including two reps from China, a lady from Russia, and an incredible representation from, that's the second half, people. And all these people are experts in AI. So we think, we're the owners of this. And they all have different, they come from different perspectives, but they all, or every one of them, it's wonderful networking, I'm meeting the most amazing people, and they all have something to say about AI, and I'm learning so much from them, and that's why I'm passionate about it. Now, this all happened the week before, this is just the chronology, the week before the safety summit, and I was one of the very few people who actually got a ticket. Right, there were like four professors from the UK there, something like that. And it was so weird. I didn't understand why it had to be quite so secretive on the day that had nothing to do with secrets. Actually, it was, although we've gone a rather, maybe we can talk about it later, I think the UK has gone down a bit of a rabbit hole with AI safety, but we'll talk about that later maybe. But the summit actually was, because a lot of the UN advisory board people were there because they were the people, the countries that were invited to the summit, their UN advisory, we were all put forward by our home countries, although I don't represent the UK on the UN board, but we weren't nominated by our countries. So a lot of the UN people were at it. And so it was actually a very diverse summit in many ways. And then there were sort of three levels. I was very impressed because that was the Secretary of State in the US, our Secretary of State, and the Vice President of China. I thought that was a great, it was inclusive in that sense. These are the people that talk behind closed doors, and these are the people that were not allowed to be taught behind closed doors. These are all pictures off the web of how it was a bit weird. But the summit, the discussions at the summit itself, I didn't get to go to any of the second day. I was at the day when they had the opening day on the first, but the discussions around the working groups were actually very useful. And then we at that summit said we're going to run another one in Korea, and then we won't, but the Koreans are going to have one, France are going to have one, we're going to carry on with these summits. I don't know what's going to happen to them. And they, as San has already said, we set up the AI Safety Institute, and there's a lot of, so countries like us and the US, EU, China are doing things. And how is that all going to bubble up to the what the UN's going to do? So I would recommend you look at this report that was released. It's open in December, just before Christmas, it's open for consultation. It is a draft. As I say, we've been sitting here all afternoon with a group of experts talking about feedback that will come from the Royal Society and RAI UK and to this. And this is the sort of governance functions that are suggested in the report as a driver for discussion. And the key thing I want to just finish with is this very simple slide. I tried to think of a picture, but I'm not very good at that. We have to, this is the UN report is about the governance, and you've got governance, regulation, and standards are all different things. They're very, very interrelated, but they are different things. And governance, what is the UN going to, what can a UN, it won't necessarily be a UN agency. And in the report, we discuss the types of organizations you might set up. There's no obvious example candidate out there. But there's types of organizations that you might set up to govern AI at a global level. And what would it actually try to do? And how would it police it? I mean, how's it going to govern it? How's it going to manage it? So I think we've got to keep it very simple. Regulation will happen in the nation states, but it's all, I think, we can talk later. You can give me feedback about what an overall governance could be, but it's more about coordinating principles and the detail, the legal stuff will happen in nation states. And then you've got the standards, which permeates all through all of that and has to be also agreed globally in order to work. So that's my last slide. That's what we're going to talk about in Geneva in 2 weeks' time. Thank you very much for listening.